D-H-Z, go!
I used to say I'm the boss. They've hit at the most. They're doing real good, yeah. I would say they're the boss. They bring real information. If you don't know, I'm Set Nation. Dropping knowledge on the daily. Really?
Really?
These boys bring it on real. D-H-Z know what's popping in the field.
Recording live from the SEC Sports Pub, here's Heath Elsonson, Tomas Mauricio, and your host, David Romero.
So here we are. It's the BS and Beer podcast. I don't know. This weather's driving me crazy. I thought we were going to have an early summer.
Yeah,
I know. And then all of a sudden, it rains every day. Then it's cold this morning.
Yeah.
I had to go and put on a light jacket. Yeah, you know. And, you know, man, I'm trying to wear my flip-flops, man, and, you know, my feet are cold. And, you know, it's, people don't want to see the socks with the flip flops. I guess that's just inappropriate. No, you still don't say it, Tomas. I know you still
and
wear
I
your socks.
Socks already.
No, I couldn't do that. I'm not going that far. But so yesterday, man, I had to work over at the Cajun Kitchen. So yeah, I'm working the counter.
Oh wow, this is newsworthy.
Yeah, no, I'm working. I actually enjoy it, man, because people in, they telling me stories, and oh, you know, I lived in Baton Rouge for 3 months, and you know, or six, you know, for 2 years, and you know, they all, you know, talking Cajun food like they experts,
right?
So this family comes in, and I mean, like this guy, don't get me wrong, nice guy, but he comes in and they have like six kids between him they, you know, I learned a lot about him over this time. So he had three kids and he got married to this lady and three kids, and he comes in
the Boudreaux bunch.
He didn't have the accent, but what it completely reminded me of, and he's like, "Hey Vinny, how you doing? Everybody okay?" You know, got the gold chain and the medallion and the hairy chest. He didn't have any of that, but he just walks in. It's like, "Hey, be quiet over there. Get off the counter. Hey, well, I'm gonna give you a knuckle sandwich, buddy, you know." It's just loud. He's like, man, come on, give us some samples over here so the kids can try some. Billy, come over here, try this stuff, right? It's good stuff. You know, I'm just like loud, man. Just like has one of those voices kind of like Tomas that he could,
Tomas, said the hairy chest, the gold chain.
I didn't say, I said the voice.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, he does. Huh? He got a little Goomba in him, man. I see.
It wasn't Tomas, was it?
No, it wasn't. Okay. It wasn't.
Maybe he had some sunglasses.
But, like, Tomas can lean over to you, and if the room isn't, like, completely full with music playing or whatever, lean over and just say, "Hey, did you ever talk to," just the whole room can hear because of the way his voice carries. So this guy comes up, and he's like, "Oh, yeah, you know what?" And he's like, "Yeah, my wife, man, she won't be able to eat. She just had surgery." And so, like, next thing you know, they lived in the neighborhood, so they sent the kids off, and so they standing there, and they kind of died down while they eating. He's like, "Yeah, you know, she just had surgery." He said, "Yeah, in the middle of the restaurant, she just had a vagina, she had a cyst on her vagina and just had it lanced." And I'm like, this woman, I'm dead serious, man. It wasn't super busy, but there's like 15 people in here, and this woman, her eyes got as big as saucers. And turned to him and said, "You better stop it right now." And he's like, "Oh, man, we had to drain like a pint of liquid out." And she was like, "I will leave you right now." And I'm like,
"What am I then, boy?"
"You're a loudmouth schnook."
"Look at here, son. I'm no loudmouth schnook."
What do you say? You just like, "Yeah, man." I mean, the most uncomfortable situation.
I'm uncomfortable now.
Yeah, right. Like, I'm just like, "Oh, okay. Well, great." And you can just tell. And then, you know, as they hung out, really nice people, and they like to play with each other a lot. But you can tell he wasn't joking.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, enough to develop a cyst. But anyway.
Rugburn.
But they were, like, really nice people. But it's like, you know, he wasn't joking by her reaction. It was like, and I'm just like, what do you say to this? All right. What did you get in any trouble this weekend, Heath, that could equal that story?
No. I don't think I could ever get in that much trouble. I don't know.
Well, I think Tomas may have. I heard him sassing his wife, so must have been.
Oh, yeah.
Getting big trouble like that. She called up. "Can you hear me?" He's like, I tried to call you, baby.
I've been married for 40 years. I expect to be married another 40. Okay, so
I
know my place.
Well, I tell you what. So listen, the Saints, the future of the Saints has been secured, as I have just found out that Bryce Harris has been resigned.
Oh man, thank God too, because I've been worried about this offensive line,
especially tackle. You know what? Yeah. When you think you haven't invested enough into that offensive tackle spot, then they go and make everything better.
I'm
by
just hoping
Bryce
now
Harris.
That we can outbid everybody for Tony Hills, and we're
gonna
be good.
Yeah,
man.
That'll lock it. And we get the band back together.
Because
okay, help me with the other guy. I can't remember who we brought him to the little mini camp, the rookie mini camp last week. The tackle.
Khalif Barnes?
Yeah, that's the guy. We get the whole band back together. We'll have Bryce Harris, we'll have Khalif Barnes, and
Tony Hills.
What, dude, it don't get more solid than that.
No,
it don't get it. I mean, I feel like we get those guys there, it's going to be hard for you know, Armstead, he's got a very good chance of making. After that, the rest of them are going to be, it's an uphill battle to make a roster spot.
Chief better start filling out his retirement paper.
Yeah, so needless to say, right after they signed him, you know, the speculation started. What does this mean? Is this, oh, no, Armstead, you know. And
this is the fun time of year.
Yeah. Well, you know what? And I mean, it's not like it's an unfounded concern, right? I mean.
Yeah.
I mean, you need 90 players to, you know, to fill
up. My thought was camp body.
Yeah.
You know.
But here's the thing. I agree that like, okay, this is the time of year where it's like, oh, you start speculating. And I agree that Armstead has injury issues. Having said that, we have enough offensive tackles on this team that are capable of filling in for Armstead, albeit maybe not on the same level, that none of those guys. So anybody who's speculating that Harris or Barnes or the other guy would actually be brought in because they need them.
Right, right.
So then we also, today, we're going to talk about where we think this defense could end up. I've heard, read, saw speculation, top 10 defense. I've also heard, read, that, okay, with all these additional pieces, still, you're talking about 25-ish, mid-20s or whatever. So I think that's an interesting subject. Another thing I want to discuss at least a little bit is there was a picture floating around the internet of Lattimore, our new cornerback, when he was in high school trying to block a kick and his jumping. And I just think that it's interesting to see how explosive this guy is relative to the injuries he has and some of the reasons why maybe these injuries are happening when you can jump that high and you're that explosive. And, you know, also the way players are built now as opposed to back when, you know, the Dome Patrol was running around. So something that I think would be an interesting conversation. Also, we're going to do our three best players who either weren't on the team last year or played, let's say, less than three games because of injury or whatever. Each of us are going to come up with our three players who we think will have the biggest impact, who were either not on the team or didn't play a whole bunch last year.
All right.
And so that will be something where, you know, we're going to give ourselves a little latitude, but at the end of the day, I don't just mean who's the best player, it's who's going to make the biggest difference.
Right.
So anyway, unless you guys got something else you want to throw in there, we can get this show started.
Let's do it.
Tonight, on BS and Beer Radio Broadcast Corporation Incorporated, it's the Action Suspense Airline Highway at 9:30, followed by this year's award-winning suspense thriller, Camp Beast. Next, it's hilarious family fun suitable for all ages with Drew, Sean, and Mickey. Then, it's Sex in the Cell Block, the hot new show that's too racy for daytime. That's Sex in the Cell Block at 11 tonight. Then it's Saints Talk with Dave, Tomas, Heath, and the BS and Beer podcast crew. Every night here on the BS and B Radio Broadcast Corporation Incorporated, a limited liability corporation.
All right, so agree or disagree, I think we've touched on Bryce Harris enough.
I think so.
But, Tomas, you had a theory, and you may have mentioned this to me off the air, about why we bringing in these tackles. Now, Heath seems to think it's because we need all our young guys to get a lot more confidence, so they just bring in a whipping post.
There you go.
You seem to think a little different.
Yes, I do, because if you wanted a whipping post, we already have enough of those on the team. I think that the real reason that they brought these guys in is because they may not be at their peak level anymore, but they have NFL experience. So they may not be the best guys. They may not make the team. But because they have NFL experience, they know little tricks and little things. So these young guys who come in, let's say, for example, Hendrickson, who we just drafted, right?
Mm-hmm.
He has all these tremendous numbers, but at a lower level of, supposedly a lower level, even though I saw a couple of games where he was playing against higher level people. But in any case, he comes in and he has to play against Barnes, who understands how the game is played. He played with the Raiders for a long time. He knows how the game is played. So this kid says, oh, I'm gonna get this old guy, just spin one time. He spins one time and he lands on his behind. And then he realizes, well, I can't do that anymore. But it gives the coaches a better idea of grading the players right. than having them go against another rookie or having them go right. against, you know.
They've beaten up guys who basically were the same guys they were beating up in college. Camp right. bodies who really won't necessarily right. make
right.
the roster.
Right.
And, you know, listen, what's funny is, and I still, we just talked about him. Who was the guy from Pittsburgh, offensive tackle, that's been off and on our roster the last 2 years?
Hills, you're talking
Hills.
About?
Hills. Huh. You know, listen, Hills had his moments where you just start doing like, you know, he showed that he's a professional. Now he doesn't have the same feet he used to. But there were games where I'm like, I mean, he's serviceable. He,
right.
And then as soon as you'd say that, I'm like, man, you know, you notice the last like six plays, Hills up, sack, you know. So,
yeah,
but the
right,
point
right.
is that, you know, he still shows that he has the capability of holding his own for what he is, a guy that's right. a veteran minimum player. So yeah, right. you're gonna get a good look if you're right. if you're one of those young guys trying to, you know, Muhammad trying to show what you can do, and the veteran's gonna give you a better look than
exactly.
than some
rookie. And that way you don't risk hurting Armstead or
And that's true. It's like, it's kind of like, maybe that's a bad analogy. Your mom, you know, grabbing you by the ear when you're a kid because somebody's picking on you, and you bring them out to fight the other kid. So Barnes is over there, and you're like just telling it, you know, Muhammad, go get him. No, it's like, hey, you just worry about getting your technique over there, and you know they over there pulling for Muhammad to kick your butt, you know. And so, all right, so let's see. So should we move into this top 10 defense conversation?
Sure, why not?
All right, so what do you think? Top 5 or top 10? Where's the conversation?
Dreaming.
Should we just start at top 5 or – No.
Well, you said top 10 was what the speculation was, so, you know.
Well, okay, I mean, listen, again, it's
all right, give us a number between 1 and 32. Let's do that.
All right.
Let's start there.
So I'll start with you, Tomas, since it's your idea.
18.
18. All right. Heath?
20.
20? Okay, that seems to be, to me, the most realistic, somewhere between, you know, 20. And, okay, here's the problem. Remember last year we were saying, like, we were ranked 32, but like, if there were 40 teams, we'd be ranked 40. So the difference right. between, like, number 30, 29 and 32 was significant. If you look at the difference between number 4 and number 5, there wasn't the same difference. So it's not like every team, number 1 is hypothetically, you know, 20 yards better than number 2. And then number 2 is 20 yards or 19 yards. And then, you know, it's just all symmetrical.
Right.
Once you start getting down to, you know, there's no more of that 10-yard gap. Like, the difference between 26 and 27 was they gave up, you know, 67 yards more rushing a game or something like that. Saints, we're talking about historically bad defense.
Yeah.
And so the idea that somehow bringing in some new guys. Now, listen, I am optimistic. There are some good – we have some good young talent on our team.
Right.
And we have some good veteran talent. But to think that you're just going to go from being a historically bad defense to a top 10 defense in one season, I think it's completely right. unrealistic.
Well, obviously the premise of that was based on staying healthy. Had to be, right?
Okay.
Oh, okay, everybody we brought in and everybody we had and the new draft. If we stay healthy, man, we're going to be great. Okay, well, you know, yeah, we'll probably be a hell of a lot better than we've been. But at the same time, top 10, it's optimistic. I mean, that's optimism.
Even if you're healthy, I think
right,
it's optimistic.
I think even if this team is healthy, hell, they haven't played together enough to be top 10. You got to gel as a team, right, and when you haven't even been on the field together, you know,
and that alone
would keep them from being the top 10.
Forget about, you know, all the draft combine, what they did in college. It's so funny when you get around draft time. I wish I could remember. It was one of the most profound. It was one of the ex-GMs brought up, and I won't remember the guys' names, but they brought up a draft, and they said it was the Jets, and they talked about the cornerback, a top 10 cornerback that they drafted, and they said the names of the players, and they're like, this is going to change their program for the next 10 years, and none of those guys made it 3 years into the league. So as much as we think that Lattimore is going to make this difference and Williams and all these guys, it's yet to be seen. They haven't stepped on the field yet.
Absolutely.
Well, I will be the guy then who disagrees with everybody.
Okay, of course.
You know, I personally am sick and tired of hearing all of these people who think they know something and they're a bunch of know-nothings.
Okay.
Now, I've offended everybody I possibly could, right? Without saying any names, right?
I don't know if it's, I'm including that yet. I'm waiting here.
Yeah, well, he just told us he's disagreeing with us.
Oh,
huh?
Yeah, so okay.
The reason that I wanted to talk about defense is because I have been hearing this from a number of people on podcasts and a number of people who write articles and blogs where they've been talking about how the Saints' defense is not going to be improved, that they picked up a couple of players, but you have no way of knowing that these players are going to be any good. Yet these are the same people that before the draft were, oh, it'd be so amazing if we could trade and get Lattimore. Well, we didn't have to trade and we got him. And now they're bad-mouthing. And they're bad-mouthing the whole team. So I would say
I don't mean to interrupt your flow, but I don't think anybody's bad-mouthing them.
If you're saying that the Saints' defense is not going to improve more than one click above what they were before, because that's what they're saying. Well, the Saints would be in the high 20s.
Okay.
Well, if you're going to be in the high 20s, then you're the same crappy team you were last year.
That's not necessarily true. We're talking about, again, historically bad defense. So just because you're ranked number 32.
All right, hold on a second. We had a historically bad defense when we won the Super Bowl. We had when we had the Dome Patrol.
No, we didn't.
Then why are you saying historically bad?
Statistically, the worst defense ever fielded by an NFL team. Not for the Saints.
That was 1 year.
Okay, but my point
is historically goes back over several years.
Okay, I'm not understanding what your point. I'm pointing out that this defense is one of the worst defenses to ever take the field in the NFL. So I don't want to muddy up the water with all the
fine.
What you're saying.
Whatever you're saying, fine. Okay. Not worth my debate. All right. I am not going to bandy words with you.
Okay, so can we agree that they were really, really, really bad?
When?
Over the last 3 years.
No.
Oh.
Okay, I don't know how we're going to have this conversation, right. Man. Go ahead, though. I'm going to let you have the floor again. Yeah. I just want to make sure everybody who's listening knows that just my silence doesn't mean I agree with you. So that's please fine. Continue.
I'm just – the reason for my being disgruntled is because I believe that a lot of people – believe that this Saints defense is not going to be more than one click better than they were last year. And I would disagree. Last year, we're playing who's at cornerback because we lost six cornerbacks. Now, you tell me a team that's gotten a defense that has three people with broken legs, your number one draft pick is out for more than half of the season, you know, and you're still not the worst defense in the NFL last year because we weren't 32. So now you tell me how you're going to continue to say, well, we're only one click better. When we spent – now, I believe it's because the majority of these people still have they're sore losers that they didn't get to pick Solomon or Garrett in, you know, with the first-round draft pick. You know, I'm very sorry. By the time we picked at 11, there wasn't going to be a Solomon or a Garrett. There shouldn't have been a Lattimore. So we're fortunate to have gotten that. And to me – that's a significant – I don't care if he's a rookie. Like you said, I think, when we were off there, before we started the show. Who's going to beat him out? You know, is Sterling Moore going to beat him out of that corner? I think not. Is my boy Crawley going to beat him out of that corner? I don't believe so. Devontae Harris – I mean, you tell me who's going to beat him out of that corner. Nobody.
No, I agree with that.
You know? So, that's an increase. And I will tell you, I don't know if I want to say it at this point or not, but probably not, because we're still talking about later picking the three you said.
The
so, I don't want to say, give my thing off here. But I believe that there are a number of reasons why this defense will be better. I've written down right here in front of me every name that's defensive line, every name that's linebacker, every name that's DB, and every name that's safety on this squad at this point. Now, obviously, there's someone here that's not going to make it. They cut Forrest Hightower today, the kid from the Canadian League that they thought might have a chance. No chance. But he's a defensive back. So just imagine, if they cut a defensive back this early, what does that tell you about how they're looking at the ones that we do have under contract?
Well, I mean,
you know, so I'm just saying to you.
Better than Hightower?
Well, there was a lot of expectation with Hightower. They signed Big Hill and Hightower because of the success they had with Bro. And they thought, you know, okay, maybe one of these two guys can work out. To me, they should have, if you had that bad defensive backfield, you wouldn't have cut them then. They cut him to sign LaFrance. Okay, so now I'm just telling you, is LaFrance going to make this team?
No. But I don't. Well, Hightower might have another problem too. But I don't. Hightower also wasn't in the same category with Big Hill and Bro as far as the success that he had.
Or
in
Harris,
Canada,
right.
But look, I certainly agree with you that the Saints, like again, if healthy, would be better than one click better than they were last year. I mean, I said 20. That's quite a few clicks better. But to Dave's point, you can look to the Kentucky Derby we had recently, right? Number 18, number 1 through 17 finished within about 10 lengths of each other. Number 18 started bucking right out of the gate and never actually completed the race. A couple of years ago, that was the Saints defense, right? 32 was back here still at the starting gate where 31 was, one click better would actually have been a significant improvement.
And that's the point I was really going to make is to improve from where we were last year to 20, that would be a huge and significant difference.
But at the same time, I think it's absolutely possible if this team can stay healthy. I think they have the talent to do that, and I think they will eventually. They may not be that early, even healthy. They may not be playing at that level early in the season.
Right.
But by the time it's all said and done, if they stay healthy, I think they'll be a significantly improved
team. Okay, here's the thing is now it's just a matter
of – But again, significant could be
– Well, that's
20.
What I'm saying. Quantifying this because, like, you're talking about one click, and I don't think – like, he said 20. One of y'all said 19. One said 20.
I said 18.
I said, you know what? I can see that. And here's – the what you really have to keep in mind is that if we put bets down at the end of the year, well, if they start off slow because they have Lattimore going through the rookie, pains that he's going to go through, and Williams is back there at safety, and then improve to the point where by midseason they're actually a formidable defense, well, they don't just erase all those stats. So now to get all the way up to the top 10, it would be difficult because they were in the bottom third
of
the
league.
They're
not going to be top 10. I'm just 10.
So what we're doing here is I think we all agree they're going to be significantly better. It's just to quantify,
But significantly, like you said, if they were 28 last year.
Yes.
So to you, significantly better would be if they went from 28 to 25, you would say, holy moly. I mean, that's a huge leap.
I would, okay.
That's significantly.
No, I agree with you. I really think so. Maybe I'm more optimistic than you realize. If you say in that way, to get to 25 is a pretty big increase. To get to 20 is what I feel my optimistic looking at the – because, again, I want to – you have to include that they're not going to – the chances – I don't want to say not. I want to talk – no, I'm talking – they are not going to come out of the blocks just a dominant defense week one with more than likely two rookies starting in the secondary. You more than likely Lattimore is going to be starting, and I would say there's a good chance that Williams will be starting at free safety. Then so many new guys, you're going to have perhaps two of the three linebackers on the field are going to be – weren't on the team last year, potentially. You're going to have a new defensive end. So you have so many new moving parts that it's going to be hard for them to come out of the box just being dominant. So to get to 20 – I think would be a huge accomplishment. And if the offense can function, I still think that can get them to the playoffs. Again, assuming there's the whole other side of the ball, assuming they stay healthy and the way they're structuring offense is going to be as productive as it has been in the past. So,
well, I would tell you that I think that the other reason why the defense will be, to use your term, significantly better is because – since the Super Bowl, once Williams was gone, we've had Spagnuolo, we've had Ryan, and now we have Allen. Those three guys, only one of these three defensive coordinators got to choose his own people to play coach. Okay, Spagnuolo came in, all these high expectations, oh, he's going to play this way. You can't when you still have Vic, Johnson, you have the same guys who were there before. Oh, hey, Spagnuolo's out of here. Okay, fine. Who we ran? Well, we got nobody. Oh, okay, we're bringing Ryan. Great, you bring in Ryan. He comes in, does sort of good his first year. Well, everybody was surprised. But as soon as that was over, down the tubes it went. Why? Vic Johnson. Now Allen comes in. Now, the first year Allen is in, they hire a new defensive back coach, Aaron Glenn. Made a lot of difference. Though some of those young kids showed a lot more potential than I think anybody thought they would have. That's because they got coached up. Now they bring in another young guy, Ryan Nielsen, to be the defensive line coach. And I don't know if you saw the interviews or not, but he's a guy who said, look, I'm going to get down there on my hands. I'm going to show these guys. I'm going to show them exactly what I want them to do. You know, high intensity, high. Going to make a difference. Then they bring in an experienced linebacker coach who's experienced not only as a linebacker coach, but as a defensive coordinator as well, Mike Nolan. So the experience and the change in culture and the direction with the assistant coaches underneath a defensive coordinator who knows what he wants, that alone, I think, makes the Saints defense a click, two, maybe three clicks better. Just the coaches. I'm not even talking about personnel.
I have a hard time disagreeing with that because, I mean,
I wouldn't disagree.
If nothing else, it is, I think it's fair to say it's commonly known that, like, coaches, what they have to say can just get stale when you're saying it to the
Absolutely.
Same players. And to just get a fresh, you know, or you start getting complacent, like, oh, that's my boy, that's my coach. I remember that time in training camp, we went drinking together. This new guy comes in, is like, I will cut you. And so now you have to produce. You have to perform. You have to,
right.
You know. So I can and linebackers in general are most notably, I think, is where we have, may I say that? You know, and like now I'm convincing myself things are better because look what Aaron Glenn did. I got to say this right. With what he had to work with.
Yes, exactly.
It wasn't pathetic. How do you say it? Because it was pretty bad. But
well, when they interviewed Webb and Moore, both of those guys who we got off the street said that within a couple of practices that Glenn had already come out there and told them what you had to do. You weren't doing this. You weren't doing that. So right away, he was picking up their deficiencies and making them a better player. I mean, Webb just signed a contract with a team. I don't remember now who he signed with. He signed with somebody. Okay, and we re-signed Moore. So these guys that we got off the street because nobody wanted them back when we picked them up, now they're playing.
And you wonder what he can do with guys with actual talent, with
well, this
like
is what I'm saying to you.
NFL talent.
That's what I'm saying to you. I mean, like the guy that I like, Crawley. You know, the truth of the matter is he's a little skinny, little toothpick when he came to play with the Saints. You know, he just shows a lot of potential. But imagine if he didn't have Aaron Glenn coaching him, he would have been gone already, you know? So I know that teaching, coaching makes a world of difference. A real coach can find talent where others don't and can bring it out of a player and can inspire a player to find their motivation from within to be better. And that's what I think why I think the defense is going to be better, because I truly believe in the new coaches that we have that have come in.
I don't disagree with any of that. I'll have to see more develop before I would try to prognosticate any higher than 20 or so, you know. Optimistic, though, but they got to stay healthy, too. It's
health,
the bottom
line. Well, that's for everything.
Yeah. You know.
Health and what we, more than anything, whenever I hear people talking about all the, is we didn't have enough talent on this defense. I mean, I know when you, like, it's like seeing the forest through the trees. I remember 2 years ago when we had four undrafted rookie free agents make the team, and I did try to convince myself that they were going to be the next Pierre Thomas, the next Lance Moore, the next Colston. And quite frankly, you just cannot win in the NFL bringing in not only undrafted guys who didn't get drafted for a reason. I know there are guys who slipped through the cracks, but you can't possibly believe that four of them did all in the same year, all on the same team.
Yeah, well, that was a question. We didn't have any money.
And absolutely. And then you look at our linebackers last year, and I know some of them had to do with injuries. But at the end of the day, when you start looking at who was manning the field, so when I sit here and say, you can't improve that much, I mean, it's literally like we're bringing in an entire new team. We're like, hey, we're going to keep that guy, meaning Cam Jordan, Rankins, you know, Onyemata, the guys who performed well. And then, man, we brought in all new linebackers. Practically, if you're talking about injuries, which is another thing we're going to talk about, from injuries and free agency and the draft, we bringing in all kind of talent that is vastly superior to the talent that was on the field last year. The only thing is, how long will it take? Because you just can't assume. I don't recall it ever happen. It takes time for guys to get together and start playing effectively together.
That's true, but coaching has a lot to do with
it. Yeah, but it's still not going to make it happen immediately.
You know, Mike Dettillier, I don't know if y'all saw, I wrote an article about the Saints getting stronger up the middle of the defense, similar to a baseball team, and all that. But, I go even further than that. Look at what, you had one whole position essentially missing on a defensive line all year last year. At linebacker, you had what? If you take Robertson, what he did, and then Ellerbe for the half of the season or whatever, what would you do? One complete linebacker position would you give them between the two of them? Maybe one and a half at the most? So you're missing one and a half to two people at your second level on your defense, essentially. And in the backfield, you were missing everybody. Mm-hmm. At one point in time or another, you were missing every single body, with the exception of Bird, huh? Lo and behold, Bird was the glue that held it all together.
He
was the model of health.
Well, that tells you how bad it was when Roman Harper started the last six games.
You know, Vaccaro, whether it's for taking Adderall or whatever the shit he was doing, or whether it was injuries with this guy. When you start adding up, out of 11 positions, you only had maybe four that you could consider solid out of the 11 all year long.
Yeah, absolutely. Vaccaro being the one guy that, I know there's a lot of debate to me, one of the better defenders. He's one of the best defenders.
He was
on
there
the team.
Most of the year. So and three quarters to five.
Yeah, so 11. Even he missed four games from that suspension.
Right.
So it's just, injuries are part of the game. And I got to say, until I got older, I never really appreciate it. I'm like, injuries, what you can do? The guy got injured. At the end of the day, a team needs to have enough depth that if a guy gets injured, the fall off, of course, if you have one of the best players in the league, there's going to be a fall off to his backup.
Right, right.
But if you have, the vast majority of teams, you have a handful of superstars and the rest are just good NFL players. Then their backups are either young guys who may hopefully one day either be a star, or the point is we had a starter who you might make an argument, man, he's a good linebacker, he's a good defensive end or whatever, but he gets injured and you have nothing behind him.
Yeah.
Now we have talent and we have depth. Now here's the thing, and Tomas is like, that's what I'm telling you, but here's the problem is the talent is young, it's still developing, and there's also the whole they haven't been together. You just can't underestimate a little bit of time. Now, it doesn't mean that after six or eight games they won't get there, but you just, back to the point is that you can't expect it all to gel.
Well, and we talked about this before. New England Patriots were a very injured team as well, and that was surprising. But what did the Patriots have that the Saints didn't have?
Depth.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And I would argue, more to your point, coaching.
Exactly.
We know they have superior coaching, across the board.
Absolutely.
But the bottom line is that even the Patriots, no team in the league had the depth to deal in the backfield that the Saints had to deal with.
No,
there's not a single team in the league that could withstand that.
That's correct.
Atlanta lost their number one cornerback. And that's a big blow.
Yeah.
Then they still have their number three guy who moves out to the edge. And you still have your depth. We went systematically, maybe not one through five, but we lost our top five cornerback. Nobody can overcome that.
No.
And if they could, then you'd have to really question, is NFL really that difficult? I mean, you went out and just got five more guys off the street and still didn't skip a beat.
Right. Well, and
then
it was easier.
To question, come on.
Sure, and it was easier when you only had 28 teams.
Yeah, there'd be some guys on the street that might still be able to play a little bit.
But when you're talking about 32 teams, suddenly, four extra teams makes a world of difference of depth for everybody.
Yeah. Over 200 players are.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I tell you what. Next up, we'll take a quick break. Then we're going to talk a little bit about Lattimore, some injuries, the way players are built nowadays. Be right
back. Show them what you got, but don't let them have it. You got to tease them a little. Make them chase you.
BS and Beer, a national institution since, it's a really cool show.
You're listening to the BS and Beer Podcast.
All right, so we, I went to the archives, man. We pulled out some Foghorn Leghorn.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, we are cracking up. And so then we're going through all those old cartoons, man. It's hilarious stuff.
Don't make them like that anymore.
Yeah, they don't make them like that anymore. I guess they are a little politically incorrect, although I don't have any true love for political correctness.
I just thought
I don't
want to
offend nobody,
okay.
But if you can't take a joke, then,
that's right.
You know, but these cartoons, I mean.
I'll just say Tom and Jerry.
That's Tom and Jerry. What were you just watching there? Speedy Gonzalez?
Speedy Gonzalez.
I told you.
Slowpoke Rodriguez.
Stupid, man. Stupid. All right. So there's a picture I saw. Lattimore jumping.
By the way, are you from Wisconsin?
No. Why?
Because you keep saying pitcher. There's a pitcher I saw.
A picture.
Oh, that's better. Okay.
All right.
Just wanted to make sure
you enunciate. Because
yeah.
You know that's
correct.
My strength, right?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
We'll make sure
we get all the
that.
People from Reigns have that problem.
It's a frog capital world, bro.
Don't disrespect frog legs.
Don't disrespect the frog capital world.
Mm.
Self-proclaimed frog capital world, I believe. I don't know if they have any documentation of had anybody like you think somewhere down the line, like maybe
is
Obama
official,
signed it in.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, somebody
who's,
officially
I mean, who's
designated.
A president back then? Clinton, you know, it's like had a podium and all the people lined up and flags behind.
She's
them.
She's 16. Okay, go ahead.
I did not. Okay, so this picture.
There you go.
Of Lattimore jumping, and literally his feet would have been over my head.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just started making me think about the explosiveness, you know, and could that be part of the reason why the guy gets injured? We've talked about this in lifting weights. You have a guy that's a 200-pound guy naturally, but he plays linebacker in the NFL, so he's on the protein, he's on all the different things to, you know, and then lifts weights, bulk up, and now he's playing at 238, 240. His body is not intended to be that big.
Yep.
So while his muscles are big, his ligaments don't get any bigger or stronger. He goes to cut, the muscles are the torque from the muscles, pop, there goes the soft tissue. But I'm not suggesting that Lattimore is over there and he's bigger than he should be, because he's, you know, he's a cornerback. He's probably not, he's lean. He's not adding, but is the guy so explosive that his own body can't tolerate the torque
possible.
That he produces?
Yeah, possible.
So then it starts making you think about, like, okay, in the last, I don't know, I mean, I hadn't thought much about the exact time frame, but let's call it 15 years, that the injuries that you're seeing with these players, like, you didn't really see as many. I remember the Saints back in the late 80s, early 90s, the same players took the field, and those guys, it was not specialized. I mean, you were starting cornerback, you were playing all the snaps. You were the middle linebacker, strong side, and they might bring in a nickel. It was nowhere near as specialized as it was now.
Right.
But these guys were built completely different.
Right.
I mean, I'll use the thick ankle thing. I mean, these guys had big old thick ankles and thighs, and they could take the pounding. When I go to camp and watch the Saints practice or any other NFL team, or if you go to a game, I'm amazed by how lean, like, defensive linemen are, that they have these huge, big arms and chest and thick, you know, and then you get down to their knees, calves, and ankles, and they're just like those racehorses you were talking about, you know?
Yeah, bred for speed.
And that's
problem
the way the game's
played. Yeah, they're overwhelming the legs' ability there. I think that's why a good chance that's why you see as many knee injuries and all as you do today. We've actually hit a point where humans are going beyond what their body's capable of.
Yeah, right.
You know, you're going to train really hard and you'll hit a wall and you won't train anymore and you'll be equalized, you know, so to speak, or whatever. Maybe not. These guys are actually going beyond what you could physically expect from the human body.
Yeah. And the training is different, you know, because like you were saying about Lattimore. Okay, well, I remember seeing recently a video with Marty, who is rehabbing, right? And he was doing that. He was from a stop, you know, dead stop on the floor, jumping straight up on top of a box. Mm-hmm. And it was like 4 feet. And I was thinking, and he's rehabbing? You know, and he got 4 feet, you know. Or the story about the fellow who used to be the defensive lineman at Detroit and now is at Miami.
Dominic Sue.
Yeah. That he gets in a swimming pool and has water chest deep and then jumps out. You ever try to jump out of a swimming pool?
Yeah, I'd have to see that. That's
crazy.
That's explosive.
They say they have it on YouTube. Oh, I have to go look it up. But that's what they said. That's the kind of power that he has to jump out of the water.
Wow.
You know? So these guys, a lot of these techniques, training techniques, I think, are pushing the body beyond what the body is capable of doing. And so unless you're going to restructure the human anatomy, you know, you reach a point. Now, there have some people who have strange athletic abilities.
Sure.
You know, I mean, just like me playing piano. You know, there's some people, the really great pianists have that quick twitch. You know, I have that with my finger. I can't tell you how many hundreds of students. And when you teach them and they're bright and they're, you know, they're hardworking, they don't have that twitch. They can only play to a certain speed. They can only play to a certain level. Mm-hmm. You know, because to get to the next part, you have to have that nerve movement.
Yeah, that quick twitch, man, to be able to. Yeah.
You know, so same thing with any, because, you know, playing the piano is an athletic event. So,
exactly.
No, I'm serious. Yeah. I'm serious. You know, a lot of people don't understand that a lot of the things that, anything that uses the body is an athletic event because you have to train the body a certain way. There are things, I promise you, that you think you're in shape, and I'll sit you down next to one of my little 12-year-old pianists, and you're going to go, I can't do that.
That's the old argument. That's that old argument, is bowling, a hobby or
is it a sport?
Yeah. And, like for instance, I went one time, and I drove with a race car driver, and three people get into a race car, front seat and two in the back, and there's another. And, I mean, I don't care for, you know, NASCAR and all that, but when you get in a car with them, there's no air conditioning. I mean, it's burning hot, and we were in the back car, and I mean, you would have thought they were connected with a hitch or something. And these guys, I appreciated how talented they were.
Yes, absolutely.
Having said that, I still don't know if I call them athletes. So it'd be hard to convince somebody a piano player.
Well, now, you know, I used to say that about golf. You know, a bunch of old guys in funny looking pants,
until I started
knocking a white
ball.
Yeah, exactly.
You're like, okay.
Then I start playing again, and I'm like, man, this is harder than I thought it was.
Same thing. Tennis is another one. You know, I played a little bit when I was in high school and whatnot. But, you know, until you play it, you watch, and you're like, psh, and then you appreciate, I mean, in golf even more so, I mean, the precision it takes to do that.
I know. Yeah, so. That's a good example, because in some ways tennis is harder than a lot of, I mean, cardiovascular.
You
do a lot of run. That's like soccer.
I
look at soccer.
Credit,
I'm not into soccer at all, but I can realize that you're literally running around on a huge field nonstop. I mean, that is a lot of freaking running around, man. And it's not like they go sit on the sideline and in between. You know, I mean, they just keep going and going. Anyway,
they have to be in pretty good shape. No, I agree with you. I'm not a soccer fan. I don't like to do anything that supports soccer, you know, and legitimize it. Even though I know I'm living in the caveman days.
You are. Yeah. You are, because
but,
you know they're.
But no, they run nonstop, man, and it's just like even if they're just at a jog and then the ball and then all of a sudden
they just don't have a stop, man. Yeah, I mean,
I'll just say two words about it. Real Madrid. Okay, I'm ready. Go on.
There's no football offseason for LandryFootball.com, which is why all 32 NFL teams and most major college football programs are members. From college football and NFL roster analysis, all the latest in the recruiting and draft scene, as well as the inside scoop around the college and NFL game, is what you'll get. Be better prepared for this upcoming football season than ever before by becoming a member. Get access to an NFL scouting department, and for less than the cost of a magazine subscription. So head to LandryFootball.com, use subscription code SAINTS, and become a member today.
You're listening to the BS and Beer Podcast.
All right, we back. It's Monday. It's when all the breaking news comes out. If you haven't heard the big news, the big word, where's my
what's the big
word?
I have a news.
The offensive
break.
Tackle.
Oh, football. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I thought we were talking about something.
Bryce Harris.
Saints have secured the services of Bryce Harris.
Thank goodness.
And our future. is bright.
You realize we're going to wind up dependent on him heavily this year.
Yeah,
right? We're going to talk this up now to the point where
we have three broken legs on offense. Yeah.
Damn it, he did it. So this segment is going to be a little game
sponsored by
that we like to play. Mm-hmm. It's called Pick the Guys Who Can Make the Team Better.
That's the game?
I might want to come up with a more concise name of the show.
So. Yeah.
So, but right now, that's what it is. So,
all right.
Who wants to go first?
Go ahead.
Tomas?
I don't care. That's fine. My three players. I have a rookie, Kamara.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's going to make a world of difference. I have a guy who hasn't played much, and a lot of people don't think he's going to make it back, but I do. Kikaha.
Kikaha. Good call.
And then to round up my 3K special here, that's what I'm calling it.
The 3K special. See, that's more concise than the game we played. Yeah. I forgot what I called it, but I'm going to write it down. Yeah. Go ahead.
So my last K guy is Klein.
Klein. Okay.
I think that was a hell of a pickup. I think that's going to solidify our linebacker. So I have a linebacker, an edge rusher, and a running back.
All right.
There you go.
My thoughts on that.
Go ahead. Give me your thoughts.
Kamara, I think, will absolutely – I mean, okay, dog it. He's a rookie, so you don't know. He doesn't have any – but
you,
I think,
you waffle too much, brother.
I'm just saying, like, I want to be optimistic, I want to say, but also have to look at things realistically.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Reggie Bush was successful his rookie year in that role.
Yes, he was.
So there's no reason to think that Kamara couldn't be.
That's correct.
So I'm just saying that is a huge part of the offense that hopefully we have back with Kamara in – and Cadet out. So so I like that. Klein was also a name that I picked, so I'll just go ahead and say that, which I'm not suggesting he's going to be a Pro Bowler, but I think he's going to be a good,
solid
NFL linebacker. And I think what's hilarious –
Shanley plus.
Yeah, we're getting Shanley plus. And the funny thing is that
we might get all the way up to Fujita.
Yeah, now we're talking. That's my boy there.
Fujita Light. Yeah, so,
yeah.
Well
–
he doesn't have long enough arms.
The people are just – okay. We don't know until he steps on the field. My opinion, I've watched him play, and I was impressed. Then I say, well, man, I'm going to look up his – and his athletic numbers are really good.
Mm-hmm.
The guy is an athlete, and I don't know if it's the white guy syndrome where it's like, oh, why is it
you
that
racist.
Every – stop it. Why is it, though – I think it's just human nature. You don't realize you're doing it. But, like, you notice we draft several white guys this year. And it's like every time you draft a white guy, the comparison is, oh, well, the guy over in Green Bay,
if he's got long hair, he's Clay Matthews.
Right, yeah. Or he's the guy over
he's
in.
He's Keekly.
Yeah.
Cushing is the other guy you're thinking about in Houston?
Yeah.
Cushing.
Or Watt.
You know, but I was thinking of Cushing.
Okay.
You know, so it's like. You know, NFL comparison, it's like for any of the black players that get drafted, there's like 5,000 comparison guys. But you're like, oh, he's white. No, we only got three dudes. That's the only ones he could be compared to, you know. So, and then what comes with that is
and
like.
And if he sucks, then you Shamley.
Yeah. So it's like, but everyone
that is
was
a
like,
disservice to Shanley. People
I
don't
like
even
Shanley.
Know.
Well, and the thing about
Shanley
it is,
wasn't a world beater, but you know what? He was right.
He was
they
dependable.
Needed right at the time.
Yeah, he was dependable. Exactly. He knew his place. He knew what he had to do.
Yep.
So I think with all these white players, the natural as well. He's slow and unathletic, and he can't play. You know.
Yeah.
So, but I think that the guy is an athletic player. He's instinctive. He was productive in college. He comes in. He's a backup to. One of the best players in the league at linebacker, Kukli, and
Kukli?
Whatever his name is, man. I don't like those guys anyway. So, now we get him. I'm not trying to suggest he's going to be a Pro Bowler, but I think, look, it's not hard to do better than what we had last year.
Yeah.
So, I think that's a great list. And what was the third one?
Kikaha.
There we disagree. I will not be surprised if Kikaha doesn't make the team. I don't know if he makes it out of the
I would be shocked.
So, all right, Heath.
All right.
It took you like 45 minutes there.
Yeah, well, I had some several different directions I could have went. But we'll start with this one since I had this one in common with Tomas's Klein.
Okay.
You know, I'm hoping that he's at least as good as Laurinaitis.
That's what he spent the 45 minutes doing.
Yeah,
thinking,
trying to find like, some
easy racing
oh,
and scratching,
right?
Trying to come up with his monologue.
All right. No, but I, you know, I actually think Klein is better than a lot of Saints fans are. You know, I know there's a lot of guys, people out there that aren't really very impressed with Klein. I don't even think Klein will start. I think he will, and, you know, like you kind of touched on it, if you have a pulse, you're almost going to be better than what we had at linebacker last year.
Yep.
I don't want to take anything away from Robertson. But anyway.
Stephon Anthony.
Yeah.
Who?
If he can, he'll never live up to Stephon Anthony. All right. Then another guy I have is Warford.
Yep, I like that.
I think he's finally going to give us kind of nail down this guard thing that we've been worrying about.
Turnstile?
The turnstile. That's a great word. And then the other one, man, I went back and forth on this one. I think I'm going to say Marcus Williams. And I think it's because it's going to let the Saints run that three safety alignment that they like and better than they were able to do it before. Because quite frankly, I think he's going to be better than Bird was in that role.
As a Saint. Yeah,
and then not to mention, hopefully, and I expect that Von Bell will have improved as well. Mm-hmm. I don't know who you got. I don't want to say somebody, and then
so you're gonna just start throwing in four or five or six.
Well, I was gonna tell you who else I was gonna go with and why. But
So here's the thing, and the bad part about going last is Warford was one of my guys. I think he's solidified the offensive line. Mm-hmm. I think it's huge not only to keep Breeze well protected, improve the running game, and something, an element that's missing that, okay, so you bringing up Warford and you bringing up Kamara is that screen game.
Yep.
That short, quick passing game that we use, the horizontal passing game.
Right.
Warford's great at pulling. He's athletic. He's good in space. So now you've improved that area of the team, which not only keeps Breeze healthy, it brings back an element with Kamara and the offensive line, that athletic offensive line, it just really improves the offense. Yeah. So that's a great one. Klein, we already touched on that. I believe that, again, it's hard not to improve. We talked about how the criteria for this little game we're playing here. Well, the criteria wasn't necessarily who's the best player we got. It's which one will improve the team the best.
Yeah, that's right.
So I'm really surprised. Well, you did. You brought up Kakaha. Whoever replaces Kruger on the right end, he's a shoe-in for, for the improvement of the team. Because anybody with a pulse.
That was kind of an obvious place to go with this. But then I thought, man, the leading candidates are two, And look, I hope. I like Kakaha a lot. But, man, he's got some long odds to be another Davis out of Carolina there with three knee injuries.
Right.
And then Okafor, he's another guy. But, man, he's also a guy that's had a hard time staying on the field. I think he can make an impact.
How good is he anyway? I do think that he's an above-average player. He's not just another guy. He's a player. But that doesn't mean he's a superstar. So, if he's an 8-sack guy, that's good, but
Kruger had one, so there you go.
And what's funny? I watched a couple of games this weekend, and one was I don't know if he got credit for the sack, but he got blocked, fell down, and the quarterback fell over on top of him. And I don't know
if that might be his one.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't think so, because there was
he
one.
He only had one.
He only had one, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I watched a couple of games this weekend, and this is the time of year where you can start getting excited again. You pull out then watch all the whole games. Okay, so my third guy that you guys didn't have, and I'm going back and forth with who I want to pick, but just for the sake of being interesting, no, man, come on. Bro. Now, I know he played more than three games, but I don't know if he may played more than three games healthy.
That's cheating.
So, I have a little leeway here. So I'm going to pick Bro, and what I find interesting is, and again, I would probably be better. We talked about this, Tomas, if I picked a side and went strong with that opinion. But I can see it both ways. Bro had a really good rookie year.
Right.
He did, and when I say really good, he did a lot of good things, like things that impressed you, things that we hadn't seen from the Saints defensive backs in a while. Like breaking up passes, being close to the man, catching the ball. But, so then I start
wondering. Within 10 yards of the receiver.
Is my expectations just so low that Bro looked great?
Yep.
Because do you guys remember him running, was it against Tampa Bay? And he's like looking off to the right while the receiver was to his left going down the field, and he got his hands out. There's no ball anywhere. Do you remember him falling down twice against Indianapolis? He had the guy who was in his hip pocket, and then he fell down twice, giving up two long touchdowns. Do you remember the Giant game where he gave up, if I'm not mistaken, three touchdowns on the exact same play? Truth of the matter is, I saw his whole – I can talk about all the bad stuff. I saw his whole
– All of a sudden, I'm going, man, he really sucked. I thought he was actually pretty good.
His game as a whole –
he might not make this team, I tell you.
He made some mistakes. He had some issues. But as a whole, he was good. So while he did have some bad plays, I'm just trying to say that my whole overall impression of him was, man, this guy's pretty good. Then he came in last year and it's fighting through this injury, then came back probably too early and fought through more injuries. But having said that, if bro is who we thought he was, you know, what I'm saying is not just his rookie year, but improving, then he could be a huge difference. Or is he? Because now I'm hearing a lot of people. I want to say this. I'm making this argument just for entertainment purposes. I like bro, and I think he is going to be good. But there are people who are souring on him.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe it's the offseason, and it's time to stir the pot.
But there's people out there that think it'll be Lattimore and P.J. Williams on your corner starting,
The most favorite players on any team is a guy on the bench. Unless your guy's either all world. Anything less than that, the backup is better. You know what I'm saying? So
I didn't go there because he played more than three games, but he definitely crossed my mind, and I agree with you. If he comes back and he's anything close to the first year, bro, he's going to make a huge difference on this team.
Being healthy.
Without a doubt.
See, and I was going to go with a guy. I thought about this guy because there's a position on the team that I'm really worried about. The position I'm really worried about right now is tight end. And Heumann was out most of the year, and I really think that him being back will make a significant difference.
He's a solid all-around tight end.
Especially when we're talking about upping the running game. He's a really fine blocker on the run game.
Okay, here's another guy. Since now, let's just go down the rest of the roster. You got that here. Wait, where's my roster? I'm going to get that out. Okay.
Well, let me throw him off.
The other guy that I want.
All right, what was the other ones you were thinking about?
The other guy I was thinking about was Ted Ginn, and not because of necessarily what he's going to do at a wide receiver, but because what he might be able to do for a return game, which has been anemic.
And again, see, another change of coaching.
Yeah.
It's going to make a difference.
Well, I mean, hopefully. Now you have to argue is change of coach and change of player. But
You put the both of them together. You have an experienced player.
I mean, we haven't had a guy that could give a competent return in any part of the game. I don't know how long.
Reggie Bush.
You know. Yeah.
But, not long ago.
But tight end, I actually had someone before I started fooling around there. Again, watch two games. You know who's a good player, man? Josh Hill. Now.
He's not healthy right now.
He was never going to be still not healthy.
No.
He's never going to be the guy that Peyton tried to make him out to be.
When we
got rid of Jimmy Graham.
I agree.
He blew up Hill, and everybody got like, oh, my God, we got Hill. You know, but he catches the ball solid. He's bulked up. He's a good special teams player, and he's a solid blocker. He's a better blocker than your stereotypical receiving tight end.
I agree with you.
But I didn't know he was injured, though.
He broke his leg.
What?
One of the guys who broke his leg last year.
Oh, last year. I thought you meant now. I mean,
No. He broke the three guys that broke their legs. He's the last guy. He didn't break his leg till December.
He
won't be ready for a while. They don't believe he'll be ready even for the June OTA, which is the required one.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's on the mend. Now, I'm just going to say this. Imagine what we're talking here now about tight end. Okay? Because there are two other guys who could actually make this team as tight end. Phillips, who they signed in the middle of the year, who they really like, okay? And the guy I really like who they got in last year as a rookie, Garrett, the kid from the Air Force Academy, I think he went to. So you notice that nobody's mentioned Freeney at this point.
And Clay Harbor.
And they signed up Clay
Harbor. No, I'm kidding. That right there is for Gary.
Freeney,
Gary's
the defensive lineman?
Who's that?
No,
Fleener. Sorry, not Freeney. Fleener.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Fleener.
Just so long as we can finally find somebody to give us better than number 12 production for number 12 money.
There you go. That's
I mean, the nerve of this damn guy to come in here and only give us what we paid him for.
Imagine if Garrett were to be the star jewel suddenly.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
because he'd be making Chipola pay.
Yeah.
And giving us, you know.
I know who it won't be. It won't be Stoneburner.
No, I'm so sorry. No. I love the name, but.
The Stoneburner era is over.
It's over. Yeah. It's over. Yeah. It's over.
Look for him in an NFL team in the city near you. Yeah. So.
Maybe the Voodoo.
The Voodoo, yeah. Yeah. So, you got anything else? Any final thoughts, Heath?
No.
Keep your ears open. Yappity-yappity-yap. I can't get a word in edgeways. Talk, talk, talk. But no wonder you're not sharp. You're not always,
Shut up! Tomas,
rookie camp was good. I think we saw some good play there. Now we've started the OTAs, but they're the volunteer OTAs, so I don't know how many actually went into camp or not. Can't hit each other or anything. So you have a couple of those until the June one that's the mandatory one. So I'm excited. You know, I still haven't found the dates for training camp. I need to try to find those somewhere.
Yeah, we got to disseminate the information to the masses.
Yeah, because I'm ready to...
Don't go to West Virginia.
Oh, that's right.
They won't be there.
Oh, I forgot. Man, thanks for telling me, Heath. I would have taken the trip all the way
out
there.
You know, I could have
Biscuit World.
I could have stole one because my wife was like, she's like, well, that's usually when you go to West Virginia. I was like... Yeah. But my luck, she would finally turn on the TV accidentally to a football game, and it'd be like, well, New Orleans trained back in New Orleans this summer, and you can tell the difference. And she's like, they did what?
Yeah,
that's not even going on. All right. For Heath Elson-San, Tomas Mauricio, this is Dave Romero. You've been listening to the BS and Beer Podcast. We'll see you next week.
And anyway, the person who sits here is but the most conspicuous member of a superb team of journalists, writers, reporters, editors, producers, and none of that will change. Furthermore, I'm not going away. I'll be back.
And that's the way it is.